This morning, we continue with our series on the minefield. The minefield series. Have you ever seen a landmine? You don't know what it looks like? Well, let me show you one. There are a lot of kinds of mines. This kind, you bury it. You won't see it. Because the object is to get you to step on it. And once you step on it, what will happen? It will explode. There are a lot. There are a lot. There are mines that they put like tripwire. And then when you cross, it explodes. You don't actually step on it. And when were these mines, landmines, put together? Way, 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 way back. Look at this guy. What is he doing? He's trying to defuse this landmine. He's trying to defuse it. Still there. But once it is defused, it doesn't have any effect anymore. It has the potential to explode, but because it is diffused, it will not explode. And that's what we're trying to encourage all of you. There are minefields that the devil has laid out in front of us, before us. And we're trying to encourage you that there are minefields, but there are also ways to diffuse those landmines. What minefields have we discussed so far? Wrong relationships, bad choices, excusitis, immorality, addiction, immediatitis, quitititis. Right? We're going to overtake Webster's dictionary one of these days. So this morning we continue with the minefield series, all right? So who is this guy? Do you know him? Huh? Oh, he looks like Robert De Niro. Looks like. Right? How about this guy? What do you mean, you? He doesn't look like you, come on. Who is this guy? Huh? Oh, he looks like Johnny Depp. Right? How about this guy? Huh? Is he Matt Damon? No, he looks like Matt Damon. Now, in CCF, we're also running like some kind of contest, a look-alike contest, and we need somebody. We're looking for somebody. Look-alike. Are you ready? We are looking for somebody who looks like this. Are you green? Do you have ears like a hippopotamus? No, we're just kidding. Our minefield this morning, and I've asked a soundtrack to be introduced. This is our minefield this morning. The minefield of identititis. Identititis. Identititis is a spiritual disease that creeps stealthily into your life, deceiving you to derive your identity, value, and worth of from such things as wealth, achievements, relationships, positions, experiences, and popularity. Identititis. And how do we diffuse the minefield of identititis? The answer is find your identity in Christ. Only in the Philippines. You see, we don't have many school shootings in the Philippines, right? We don't have many bombings in the Philippines. Why? Because in the Philippines, and only in the Philippines does it work. No ID, no entry. Right? No ID, no entry. My friends, this morning, to cure the disease of identititis, we need to find our identity in Christ. Who you? Position. If you derive your identity because of your position, who you are in the corporate world, who you are in the family and all this stuff, well, one day you will retire, you might get fired, or the company might fold up, close business. Your achievements. What will happen to your medals, your accolades, all of those that are hanging on the wall? What will happen? They'll just gather dust. Believe it or not. Believe it or not. I have a trophy in golf. Only one. And I won third place when I was still in grade school. So where do you think that trophy is? Gathering dust. If you derive your identity from what people think or what people think of you, guess what? They'll change their mind. Right? My wife and I, she doesn't know I'm going to share this. I brought her and her friends to a basketball game. Right? I brought her and her friends because I had connections. And we just happened to sit by this young man, long flowing nice hair. So my wife and her classmates began to look like that. I'm there, okay? So the guy who was watching the game happened to gaze to the right too. Right? And then all of a sudden, sorry, but he had epilepsy. So I think my wife changed their mind during that time. Your experiences. If you derive your identity based on your experiences in life, well, guess what? Those experiences come and go. If you derive your identity from money, guess what? You can lose it. Others may get it. And others are richer than you. If you derive your identity from your relationships and your connections, guess what? Those relationships could turn sour, and those relationships could come to an end. Maybe you derive your identity from your family, who you are, where you come from. Guess what? You could lose your reputation, you could lose your family's wealth, and you can lose your family's influence. Remember I shared with you last week that Pastor Peter and his family were really rich. But then guess what happens? A change in government comes, and the government steals the riches. And then what? Nothing. The brands you use, the brands you wear. What do I use? Goodwill. No, I'm just kidding. Nothing wrong. Okay, nothing wrong. I just want to make sure that we're balanced. Nothing wrong. Because indeed, we all know that branded products are also, even if they're expensive, they really last, right? Not really. But don't derive your identity from that. You go to the websites now and then, and you know, his suit is made by so-and-so, $850. His pants is so-and-so, $450. The shoes. You're looking at this picture, and the guy is about, just his clothes alone is worth $5,000. Right? Don't derive your identity from that. Why? Because they go out of style. And guess what? You may be wearing a fake. Lacoste. Look at where the alligator is facing. Right? If the alligator is facing this way, maybe it's fake. Okay? Be careful. Pleasures. You know, if you derive your identity on pleasures, guess what? You will never be able to get enough. You're always going to look for that other high. If you're deriving your identity from your political or religious affiliation, guess what? You will get disappointed. Because people will disappoint you. Your church will disappoint you. So we should derive our identity in Christ. Not just Christ. In Christ. There are a lot of people who really idolize certain movie stars, right? My daughter just told me, Dad, I just saw Angelina Jolie. Nice. And now they're doing a remake, Tomb Raider, right? But it's no longer Angelina Jolie. Imagine. You're very famous. All of a sudden, there's a remake of the movie that you once were part of, and now you're no longer the movie star. Right? And there are people who really idolize. They want to identify with these movie stars that they go to extremes. Does she look like Angelina Jolie? But she had gone through many surgeries. Sahar Tabar. She had many surgeries done on herself. Why? I want to look like Angelina Jolie. Guess what? You are not Angelina Jolie. You're not. Even if now through many surgeries, you may look like you have a resemblance to her, you are not. There is only one Angelina Jolie. Just like there is only one Barbie doll. And this person, Valeria Lukyanova, has undergone several surgeries as well to look like Barbie. Guess what? There's only one Barbie doll. People are trying to find their identity in so many things, in so many people. But I'm here to tell you this morning that true identity can be found in Jesus Christ. How many of you have, don't raise your hand, because you might be seen on the internet. How many of you have a credit card or a debit card that has a chip? You have it? Do you know why there is a chip? Before, that magnetic strip at the back of your card, and you can share with me the security code at the end of the service. It used to be that that magnetic card that contained your information was sufficient. But then, you have these people. This is very prevalent today. It is my understanding that that chip on your cards and mine became necessary when Target, the store, they were hacked. There were people who went into their system to get your information and mine. They are identity thieves. They want to steal your identity. Have you ever had a charge in your card that wasn't yours? How did that happen? I had to call my bank. Why do I have almost $400 charged to my credit card? Dick's Sporting Goods in Arizona. I have never been to Arizona. Why? Because people are after your identity. People are after your information. But what's the message this morning? Find your identity in Christ. I'm going to show you a person who has done it all, who has experienced everything that you and I could ever imagine and more. His name is King Solomon. When he succeeded his father's throne, King David, and he took over, God told him, "What do you want?" King Solomon replied to God, "I only want wisdom. I only want wisdom so that I know how to lead your people." And God told King Solomon, "Because you did not ask for riches, and you only ask for wisdom, not only will I make you the wisest person on earth, but I will also make you the richest person on earth." He started extremely well, but he was warned, "Do not marry outside of your clan." That was what God was institutionalizing during their time. But you know, it's not how you start. It's always about how you finish. So here is what happened, and this is what King Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes. Before we go there, let's pray and commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can read your word and discuss and talk about it. But most importantly, Lord, that we have the responsibility to apply it in our lives. Because truth in and of itself does not change lives. Only when we apply your truth in our lives, Lord God, do we see how real and good and perfect it is. Speak to all of us, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I said to myself, this is Solomon speaking. I said to myself, "Come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself, and behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, 'It is madness,' and of pleasure, 'What does it accomplish?' I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine, while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly, until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives." So he was trying, he was experimenting everything. He did not leave anything to chance. He wanted to experience everything. Why? To see what I could do in the short time I have on this earth. Verse 4, "I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. And I planted them in all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest growing in trees." King Solomon built the hanging gardens of Babylon. Who could imagine a hanging garden? Solomon did. He did not let anything prevent him from fulfilling his heart's desire. But what does the Bible say? The heart is deceitful above all things. Verse 7, "I bought male and female slaves. I have homeborn slaves. Also, I possess flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I have provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines." God told Solomon, "Do not marry outside our clan, your Hebrew Israelite clan, because your wife will take your heart away from your devotion to God. So he started well. But then he married an Egyptian princess, and it was downhill from then on. I think you will agree, one wife is enough. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. More than one for each day of one calendar year. He left nothing to the imagination. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desire, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold from my heart any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Do you see how many times in this brief passage Solomon was talking about himself? I did not deprive myself of anything. Anything that I wanted, I was able to get. I did not withhold anything from my heart's pleasure. I became this. I became that. Where was God in the equation? Yet he is the wisest man who ever lived. Not too wise, if you ask me. Thus, I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, all is vanity. All was vanity and striving after the wind, and there was no profit under the sun. What is vanity anyway? Vanity is like vapor. It's here, it's gone. Right? Ladies, you know, it's all right. You make yourselves up, you look pretty, and then over time, like men too, you know, they build themselves up, and then over time, gravity begins to take place and have its effects. You know, my body used to be V. Now it is A. I'm expanding in areas that I would rather not. My hair used to be thick. Now I cannot look back to the camera because they will see my bald spot. Vanity. Towards the end, this is what King Solomon wrote. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. It was fleeting. The word vanity in the Bible means they are exclusively evanescence. They're empty, which includes idolatry and wickedness. It means a chasing after the wind. And he says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 8, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. That's why, my friends, you should find your identity in Christ. Why? King Solomon gives us a warning. My son, beware of anything beyond this, of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Imagine. King Solomon, the wisest man, is warning us, even in the study of books, be careful. What? But how will I learn if I don't read the Bible? Bible is a book, yes? Right? Oh, but Pastor, you know, I study, I devote 3, 4, 5 hours every day. I digest. I internalize what the Bible says and what it means. But look at the warning. Be careful. Because knowledge puffs up. What good is it to know everything in the Bible? You're not even willing to follow. You're not even willing to apply. Oh, but I know the Bible. Yeah, really? That's truth does not change lives. Applied truth will change lives. So be careful. You might end up loving the Bible, the Word of God, rather than loving the God of the world. It's one thing to study the Bible. It's a different thing to apply what you study from the Bible in your life. Don't love the Word of God. Love the God of the Word. And why? Why is King Solomon telling us, warning us to beware? Be careful, because the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God, keep His commandments. Why? For this is the duty of men. Because when the time comes, verse 14 says, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, each one of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. I might not know what you do in secret, but I'm letting you know this morning, God knows. And when the time comes, you and God will meet face to face, and you will give an accounting. I will give an accounting to what I have done in the body, whether good or bad. No one escapes that. So I would rather that we invest our life here on earth, not on worldly things, but in cultivating our identity in Christ. Find our identity in Christ. Well, how can you find it? Then find Christ. Look for Christ. Because he said, if you search for me with all of your heart, you will find me. It is not impossible to find God. If you were here this morning early and we did the heart prep, I have drawn you with my loving kindness. God wants you to find him. Find your identity in Christ. Look at this guy. This guy wrote majority of the New Testament that we have today. Who is he? The Apostle Paul. Look at what he says in Philippians chapter 3. Look out for the dogs. Look out for those evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Paul is talking about the Judaizers. The Judaizers were trying to convince the people who have placed their faith in Christ not to abandon their religion, but to be circumcised and to be compelled to obey the law, for without which, according to their teaching, no one can be saved. But the gospel of Jesus Christ simply says that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. There is no mention of a need for circumcision, although the Bible says you and I need to have a circumcision of the heart, but not of the flesh. And Paul is referring to them in the book of Philippians as the dogs. They want you to mutilate your flesh. They're trying to convince you to embrace another gospel, which is really no gospel at all. And he's giving his, it used to be called biodata. You know, those of us who are, you know, white in the hair already, it used to be called biodata. Today, it's called a CV? CV. And then, I have CV, but my CV also has an S at the end. CBS. I get text, yeah, your prescription is ready, you know. Today, it's called CV. Before, it was used biodata. So, you'd prepare your biodata, right? In there, you will put your achievements, your educational background, your work history, etc., etc. So, this, in effect, is Paul's bio data or his CV. Remember, he's talking about the dogs, those who are trying to convince people to still to continue to embrace their religion and not trust in Jesus Christ alone. Are you with me? So here's what he says. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. So he's saying, if you guys think that by being circumcised and embracing your religion, you Pharisees, you rulers of the law, think that you are better than me, then listen up. He says, I far more, circumcised on the eighth day. The Old Testament says a male must be circumcised on the eighth day. Check. A nation of Israel. Check. He is purebred, not like Titus, who was mixed. I am from Israel. I am purebred. And not only am I from Israel, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. The favored tribe. A Hebrew of Hebrews. My bloodline is perfect. As to the law, a Pharisee. Paul was trained by one of the most respected rabbis, Gamaliel. So if you want to pit your CV versus Paul, here it is. Now, he was not just an ordinary Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. He was on the road to Damascus with his mission order from the high priest that authorized him that whatever and whenever he would encounter somebody who belonged to the way, which were Christians, that he was authorized to arrest them and put them in jail. But when God intervened and spoke to him, he was changed. He further says, to the law, I am blameless. I have kept the law. Verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, all of the above, all of my achievements, all about who I am and what I have done. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. They don't mean anything if you don't have Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. My friends, compared to what you have in Christ, everything that you can amass in this life counts for nothing. They're rubbish. They're trash. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish. For what? So that I may gain Christ. Because your reputation, your property, the way you value yourself could be your idol. And that is what prevents you from coming to Christ. Paul says, I count them as rubbish. Why? So that I may gain Christ. It's an exchange. Die to yourself and you will live in Christ. And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. You see, the law brings what? Self-righteousness. Well, I obeyed the law more than this guy over here. So I'm better than this guy. Guess what? There's somebody going to be better than me. You cannot derive your righteousness based on the law. Because in the book of Galatians, Paul writes, you can never achieve your righteousness based on your ability to obey the law, because salvation is by faith. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through what? Faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God that depends on faith. Faith is the operative. We are saved by God's grace through faith. This not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one should boast. And not only that, he says, that I may know him, ginosko, to know him experientially, not just to know him in the mind. We can know God in the mind by just reading our Bibles. But we get to know him experientially once we apply the Word of God into our lives. And Paul is saying, I want to know him. What? And the power of his resurrection. Today is what? Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. But you don't have to wait, because you can experience the power of God's resurrection if you're in Christ. That's why your identity should be in Christ. And not only that, to share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain what? The resurrection from the dead. My friends, do not be deceived. Salvation is God's free gift. But you and I have a responsibility to live out our Christianity. And part of that is to embrace what the Bible is telling us, that we must participate in the suffering of Christ. The Christian life is not easy. You agree? In truth, the Christian life is impossible without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So do not be deceived, because there are people who are out there who are really out to deceive you. You know, come to faith in Christ, you will get rich. Come to faith in Christ, you will not get sick. That's prosperity, my friends. The Bible is telling us, in this world, you will have tribulation. But Jesus Christ said, be of heart, because I have overcome the world. So the way to overcome tribulation is find your identity in Christ, in the one who has overcome tribulation. See, even Paul identifies with Christ, that I may share in his sufferings and to become like him. That's identifying with Christ. And then the ultimate identification with Christ is what? To attain what? The resurrection from the dead. Did Christ not resurrect from the dead, or did he? He did. So find your identity in Christ. And for you to be able to find your identity in Christ, Paul is telling us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Identity. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, what happens when the person is crucified? Usually, 99.999% of the time, he dies. You and I must die to ourselves so that Christ may live in and through us. There are no offerings, there should be no offerings that are still alive. Why? If the offering is alive, it will want to get out from the offering table. Yes? Lord, I offer my life. And then, God is giving you problems. Wait a minute, time out. I did not know this was part of the deal. Time out. I thought it was only going to be loss of job or this. You never told me that I was going to have cancer. That was never in the cards. Wait. That's why Paul is saying, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Exchange. your life here and now compared to the life that God is preparing for you for all eternity? No brainer if you ask me. No brainer. But you have to die to yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow Him. And He says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, how? I live by faith. Blindly? No. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. That's identifying with Christ. Giving up your life so that Christ can live in you and through you. It's Palm Sunday, right? You know how Jesus identified Himself when He rode into Jerusalem? He sat on a donkey. That is identification that He came in peace. If He had rode into Jerusalem on a horse, that would identify that He came to wage war. Very subtle. But if He came on a horse, imagine He was declaring war. But because He came on a donkey, it identified that He came in peace. Paul further writes in verse 21, I do not nullify, I do not cancel out, I do not disregard the grace of God. Why? For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Why would Christ need to go to the cross to die if you and I could achieve righteousness simply by obeying the law? The problem is, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ came so that He could die, so that you and I could live. But you must find your identity. You individually must find your individual identity in Christ. Because there is someone out there who wants to steal your identity. You know who that is? It's the devil. Look at what John 10:10 says. The thief, that word thief, in Greek is the root word kleptomania. Okay? So he desires to do what? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. All right? Now what is the sole purpose of the devil? Why do I say sole purpose? Because it says only. So that's the only thing that the devil really wants to do. To what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to kill your relationships. And he wants to destroy your life. That is his ultimate and sole goal. Steal, kill, destroy. On the other hand, what did Jesus say? I, Jesus, came that they may have life, not only an ordinary life, and have it abundantly. I didn't say a perfect life. Jesus never promised a worry-free and problem-free life. What did He promise? An abundant life. That you can experience joy in the midst of adversity. You can experience God's presence in the midst of ridicule and prejudice. And how can you overcome all of that? Find your identity in Christ. This morning, I have invited one of our spiritual family here in CCF to come and share what God has been doing in his life. Mali. We will get there, don't worry. I have to bring it up because he's taller than me. Mark, can you come up? Can you please welcome our brother Mark?
Good morning, everyone. Growing up in a poor and broken family was not easy for me. I used to live with my mom and two uncles, but they all abused me physically, and one of my uncles even sexually abused me at a very young age, and I lost my innocence. I grew up without my biological father, so it was my Christian grandmother who raised me because my mother was not always there to take care of me either. I often caught my uncles, stepfather, my mom, and other people in our house watching pornography and doing drugs. But the most difficult struggle that I had was about my identity, whether I am a man or a woman. At the age of 7, I began playing the girls' toys and wearing dresses. When I was alone, I would wear my grandmother's shoes, use a blanket as a dress, and wrap a towel around my head and pretend I had a long hair. In school, I developed feelings for one of my classmates, but he was a boy. This was the first time I realized that I was a gay. I had similar feelings right after college, where I became even more open about my sexuality and entered fully into the gay community. At the age of 17, I met a friend from my hometown who was a transgender woman. 2 weeks later, I quit my job and decided to go with this friend and start a new life in the city. I began dressing as a woman and grew my hair long. I felt that my dream of becoming a woman was now a reality. To support myself, I started to work in a club as an entertainer, at the same time, a prostitute. I even went to other countries with other transgender women to work as a professional prostitute. This was the only way for me to earn money to support ourselves because I was discriminated against for being transgender. I became obsessed with myself and started taking hormones and had surgeries to become more feminine. I also went on a strict diet in order to maintain my figure. I started competing in a lot of beauty pageants in the Philippines, and then I won of the biggest trans pageantry competition on television as the Super Serena Queen of Flowers. It was then the name Sabel Gonzalez was born, and I started becoming very well known in the LGBT community. Despite my success, I was still not satisfied. I joined online dating websites for transgenders, where I eventually find a man who married me. We moved to the U.S., but after a couple of years, we divorced. I moved to Los Angeles, where I became involved in the vibrant Los Angeles transgender community. Again, I had success as a transgender model and even shoot an ad campaign in Brazil. I also landed a role in the U.S. TV show Law & Order Special Victims Unit, playing a transgender woman model who was murdered in a hate crime. Another painful failed relationship led me to pray and ask God, why this is happening in my life? Why me? I began to cry and thinking, what is my purpose in this world? Searching and searching for my identity, but not being able to find it. It was then I met yet another guy who soon invited me to live with him. While driving to his place, I felt such a peace that I could finally see the wonder of nature that surrounded me. High mountains, beautiful trees, and a quiet neighborhood. Everything was perfect. He is kind, stable, decent, and successful. I didn't have to worry about my needs. I live in a beautiful house, had an allowance every week, ate delicious food, and it seemed like I was living my dream. Every morning, I would listen to Christian songs of praise and worship, read my devotional book, and pray. Some habits I pick up from my Christian grandmother who raised me. I soon realized that despite everything that I had, there was still something missing in my life. I felt a real need in my life that could not be satisfied by anyone or anything. So I opened my laptop and typed preaching on the YouTube search bar. I was redirected to a message by Pastor Bong Saking of CCF, who was preaching on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, which says, "Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't for yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God." I was really overwhelmed and felt that God was speaking directly to me through the message of the pastor. I decided to get my own Bible to read, and while I was reading the Word of God, He convicted my heart and enlightened my mind with the truth. And I feel the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. I found myself crying, confessing, and ask forgiveness from the Lord for all the sins that I have done. I repented of my old sin life and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I soon shared my newfound conviction and faith with the man that I was living and told him that we needed to stop our sexual relationship because it is immoral and sinful in the eyes of God, and that we can still be friends. Actually, he's here. By God's grace, he accepted and respected my decision, and now he treats me as his adopted son. I pray to the Lord to give me a church that I can attend, and through his guidance, he gave me CCF LA, where I don't feel discriminated. Little by little, I am finding my way to have a better life. I pursue intimacy with the Lord by spending more time with Him. God continues to speak to me through the Bible, through dreams and visions, circumstances and people that He is using to lead me in His way. I thought the only cure of homosexuality is to be heterosexual or to be manly, or to have a masculine body, and to be tough guy, but I am wrong. Holiness through Jesus Christ is the answer. To be a real man is not just to be a man, but to be a Christ-committed follower and one who lives out Christ's likeness. A man that is willing to sacrifice his life to share the Word of God and the good news that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. With the help of the Lord, I have changed the way I live. I cut my hair and have started wearing men's clothes. It is not easy to do this by myself, but because of the comfort and guidance of the Lord, I know I can do it. Recently, I posted my new image as a man in my Facebook, and it very quickly went viral throughout social media. A lot of articles have already been written, and I was also covered in the news about my transformation. This is not about me, for it is the Lord who has transformed me for His will in my life. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, behold, the new has come." I found my peace in Jesus, the truth of the Bible, the way of life, to be with our Father in heaven, through Jesus Christ. Now, I am walking in my life by His instructions and will, depending on the Holy Spirit to give me the strength to obey His commandments. I am sharing the gospel of the Word of God with my family, friends, and with some of the LGBT community. I regularly attend in singles midweek D group and recently started an online D group for the LGBT community back in the Philippines. We share our stories, how God changed our life, as well as discipling one another. The meaning of LGBT is no longer lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. God gave us a new meaning. We called it LJBT. Now means love Jesus, believe to be transformed. Praise God. Tonight, I am going back to Philippines to complete my transition back to being a man, to have a reconciliation with my family, and to start serving the Lord for the rest of my life. This is just the beginning of my new life with Jesus. Sabel Gonzalez is just a history, but the new Mark Stephen has come, has been born again with the Holy Spirit. Psalms 139 says, "You are a child of God. You are wonderfully made, dearly beloved, and precious in His sight. Before God made you, He knew you. There is no one else like you." I am Mark Stephen. By the grace of the Lord, I have been saved and forgiven. To God be the glory and all praises to Him.
Find your identity in Christ. You have to be in Christ. Not just about an idea about who Christ is. You have to be in Christ. And God is no respecter of persons. God has spoken through our brother Mark. Nobody told him to do what he did. God told him, "This is my desire and my design for you." So let's pray for our brother Mark as he goes back to the Philippines. You know, when we first met, he was telling us that he was 8 years trying to transition, and God has spoken to his heart. And there are 13 things to be done for him to transition back, but he was the one who decided all of this. He was the one who decided to cut his hair. He was the one who decided to throw all those trophies. And what did Paul say? "I consider all of them rubbish, that I might gain Christ." Mark has taken a big step. Mark has basically painted the target on himself. And I have been reminding him and warning him. People will come into your life to take advantage. So be careful, be of sober spirit. Because the devil only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ has come that Mark may have life and have it abundantly. Let's commit Mark to the Lord as he flies back to Manila. God, with one heart, Father, we just want to praise you and thank you for how you have spoken to Mark. You have brought conviction into his life. You have orchestrated that time that he would go to the internet and even be redirected to Pastor Bong's message. His message is based on your word, and it is your word that is sharper than a double-edged sword that has convicted him to come to faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and live as a Christ-committed follower who will live out Christ's likeness each and every day. God, will you give Mark traveling mercies? Give him protection. Give him the opportunity to be reconciled with his family members. And as he goes and shares the gospel, will you give him opportunity and opportunity, Lord, to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, we know that he is in the hollow of your hands, and we only ask for his protection as we come to you in the precious, wonderful, and saving name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise God. What's the message this morning? Find your identity in Christ. Your identity must be in Christ. Because as he quoted, and we close with this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Is there newness of life in Mark? Yes. You cannot say that you are in Christ and there is no newness of your life. That's bogus. That's counterfeit. There is no fruit. And if there is no fruit, my friend, please. Please consider if you really are in Christ. Because if you are in Christ, there must be accompanying fruit. If there is no fruit, or even worse, you exhibit bad fruit, please. Make sure that you are indeed in Christ. Because for all you know, you just thought that you were in Christ. But in fact, you are not. Please, make sure that your identity is in Christ. And you know what? If you are in Christ, and we shared this during some of our retreats. It's small. If you want to, I can put it out there, give you copies. But if you are in Christ, you are a child of God. You are a disciple. You have been justified. You are bought with a price. You are a member of God's body. You have been chosen. You have been redeemed. You are complete. You have direct access. You are free. You are assured. You are free from any condemnation. You have been established. You are hidden in Christ. You are confident in Christ. You are a citizen of heaven. You have been given the Spirit. You are born of God. You are a branch of the vine. You have been chosen. You are God's temple. You are a minister of reconciliation. You are seated with Christ. You are God's workmanship. You may approach God. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. There are so many things that the Bible has promised you if you are in Christ. You cannot claim all of these things if you are not in Christ. You may know of Christ, but the Bible says you must be in Christ. So how can you be in Christ? Follow what Mark did. What did he do? He confessed his sin. And he asked Jesus to be his personal Lord and Savior. But it doesn't end there. He began to let the Holy Spirit change his life. My friends, are you in Christ this morning? Are you willing to admit to God that you are separated from him because of your sin? Are you willing to place your faith in Jesus Christ and ask him to be your Lord and Savior? And lastly, are you committed to live out your Christianity by obeying God's word. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the example of Mark, how you have touched him through your word, how you convicted his heart, and how you have started the process of regeneration in his life. We praise you and thank you that like many in the Bible and that many who have gone before us, he also has discovered that his true identity is in Christ. And that is all that matters, Lord God. If there's anyone here, Lord God, who is still grappling with the idea of placing their faith in you so that they can be identified as having found their identity in Christ, will you speak to that person, Lord God? Will you grant that person repentance that leads to salvation? Being found in you, not having a righteousness of our own, but that which comes through faith in Christ. If you are here this morning and you want to turn over your life to Jesus, perhaps, even in your own words, just admit to God, God, I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. I repent of my sin. I turn away from a life of sin, Lord God. And I turn to you, I open the door of my heart, and receive you as my Lord and Savior. Change me, Lord God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, so that my life will bring glory and honor to your holy name. Thank you that now I am in Christ. And I will leave the rest to you, Lord God, to change me. Because it is only through the power of your Holy Spirit that you can conform me to the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray all of these things. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.